Now, would you turn in your Bibles, please, to the Epistle to the Ephesians. Paul's Epistle to the Ephesians and chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, and we're going to read at verse 19. Ephesians 2 and 19. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for habitation of God through the Spirit. Over into chapter 4, please, for a couple of verses. Chapter 4 of Ephesians and verse 14. Verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now over, please, to chapter 5 of the same letter and verse 25. Ephesians 5 and 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Now God will bless to us the reading of his own word. Brother Curry yesterday gave us a beautiful outline of this lovely epistle. There are three thoughts that we'd like to look at just very quickly for a few moments this afternoon. Unlike many of the epistles of the New Testament, when the Apostle Paul writes to the Ephesians, he makes no mention of any doctrinal error, nor does he direct it to any particular individuals, but right away in the very first verses of this book, he directs them to the great truths of heavenly things and blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And then we don't go very far in this book before we have outlined to us something of the great purposes of God, that in the fullness of time he would gather together in one all things in Christ. And again, let us keep in mind, God has tremendous purposes in view when it comes to the person of the Lord Jesus. In chapter 3 of Ephesians, we read that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs with the Jews. And of course, you likely all understand the tremendous blessing and truth that that means, that you and I of a Gentile nature have been brought from the awfulness of our dark background into the light of life with Christ and into the glories and blessings promised down to the Bible. Now then, as we look at this beautiful book, the three things that we want to just notice very quickly this afternoon are three lovely pictures of the church. And we want to notice in Ephesians chapter 2 of how the church is spoken of as the building. And we read of a building that's fitly framed. We want to notice that for a moment. Then in chapter 4, we read of the church as a body, and you'll notice that it's a body that's fitly joined together. And then we read of the church as a bride, and I want to think for a moment as a bride that's fitly adorned for her husband. There are some 9 pictures at least of the church that we might see in going through the New Testament. We won't take the time to run through them. Every one of them is instructive. Now, it's been mentioned already that in Ephesians, the church is seen not in local capacity, not in local character, but in the sense of the universal. It is that which is true, then, of the great company of God's people down through the ages, and from whatever country, whatever culture, whatever language, whatever social background they might come from. God has brought them together in one in Christ. Now, when we look at the building fitly framed in Ephesians chapter 2, there's 2 things we want to notice just quickly in relation to it. We notice in verse 20, if you watch the reading, it speaks of the foundation. And then in verse 21, there's something of the function of that building. This building that's fitly framed together. We notice that the foundation is linked with the apostles and prophets, and the Lord Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. So now God has given us the foundational principles in our Bible. And foundations are laid but once for any building. And so the tremendous truths are there. Then the functions, that it might be a holy temple. And so we find there's a purpose for this great building of God. And so when God has saved us, and I would like to take it, and while it's in relation to the universal or the body of Christ, I'm thinking of some practical things in relation, Christian, for you and for me this afternoon. God has a foundation, but God has a purpose when He has saved the Christian, and God has a purpose that you and I can learn from His Word. For the foundation is laid, and the foundation is upon the chief cornerstone, which is the person of the Lord Jesus. Now then the Bible tells us other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid. And so you and I need to right away at the very beginning realize that right back in the early days of our New Testament when God started and gave us these great truths, the truths of salvation and the truths of being identified and gathered to the Lord Jesus, these truths have not changed. And we need to realize them and appreciate them as we go on. The great church or the body that we've been reading of here, or the building rather that we're reading of here, is seen in contrast to that which is seen in the Old Testament. This is a spiritual building. The purposes, if you like, are seen through the epistles. It's to be a holy temple. It's to be a house of praise. It's to be a place of worship and identified with worship in relation to God through the person of the Lord Jesus. Back in the Old Testament, there was the physical building of the tabernacle, which is seen in contrast to this. And just by way of illustration, as we go back there, I want you to think of that tabernacle just for a moment. And I'm thinking more of the individual nature now, and in many lovely ways, you will know that the tabernacle speaks of the person of Christ and many of the glories of Christ, and shows us in a very lovely way things that were coming. But when I think of the foundation, I just want for a moment with you, if we could go back and look at some of the things that are identified with it. And I'm thinking of this one thing in particular. I'm thinking of the boards, and I would like to leave with you 6 things that mark those boards that characterize the making of the tabernacle back there, and think of them in relation to ourselves. When you read of the tabernacle, you realize that the boards that made up that tabernacle building, there's a moment, though we're not told of it, when they were cut down, because obviously they come from the trees of earth. But that's in the background as you come to the tabernacle. And of course, the little point is simply this, that there's a moment when God cuts an individual off from his roots of this earth with a purpose to putting him into the greatness of God's spiritual temple. But the 6 things that I want to think of them are simply these. That those 28 boards that made up the tabernacle back there were all of the same height. And then they were all of the same width. And then I want you to think that they were all of the same material. And then fourthly, we want to think that they were all on the same foundation. And then fifthly, we want to notice that they all are the same standing. And then sixthly, all of the same purpose. And think of these in relation to what we've read. Because the little lovely truth as we think of the boards of the tabernacle in terms of believers today, the same height and the same width, remember this, that God has done a tremendous thing in salvation with you and me. And it's a tremendous thing to read to our Bible and realize that every believer, regardless of where we've come from, what language, what country, or even how long we've been saved, the moment we're in Christ, we're in God's wonderful building. And Christian, there's neither Jew nor Gentile, male nor female, all one in Christ. Now I know there's a difference when we come to the practical and the local assembly, so I don't misunderstand. But isn't it a wonderful thing that the child of God that's been saved for a week is as much on the road to heaven as the man or the woman that's been saved for the 60 or 70 years. It always thrills my heart to meet the older Christians, but it's just lovely what God has done for them. So then the same height and the same width as we look at those boards back there, but I said of the same material. And you'll realize that the thing that marked the boards was simply this, they're all of the same wood, which speaks of humanity, but all covered in gold, which speaks of the glory of what God has done for us. And so, Christians, here we are on the one side. On the one side, descendants of Adam. But God has taken us from that, and though we're presently in the body of flesh, we're linked with the man of glory. We're linked with the Son of God. We belong to heaven. We no longer belong to earth. We've been cut off from it. So then they're also all on the same foundation, and you would likely all know as you go back and look at the lovely type, that they rested on a foundation of silver, which speaks of redemption in the Bible. That's the only foundation that anyone should ever have. The foundation of God's salvation that's found because of the work of Calvary. But then I said to you the same standing, and when you go back and look at those boards of that earlier tabernacle, why you'll find, and now just a practical point, you'll find this. They're all standing upright. They're all shoulder to shoulder. And you'll know how the rods connect them now, and now there's a rod to the midst. And the lovely teaching that it brings before us. And so in a very practical sense now, as we think of the building and applying it for a moment to ourselves, the lovely truth is that as this building is fitly framed together, so in a local sense, you and I, who are God's people, should appreciate the greater picture, but appreciate the local picture as well. And thinking of the local assembly, and shoulder to shoulder we should be standing. And with the lovely truth of the Spirit of God in the life of every believer, and the truths of the Word of God guiding us, we should stand on that one foundation and stand for the purposes that are given back there. Well then, what were the purposes? Just quickly now, those boards, as you would know, over them would be the four curtains that covered the tabernacle, and the curtains in their different aspects speak of the lovely things of the Lord Jesus. We'll leave them. But there they are, and they held up the curtains, and the point I would just like to make with them is simply this, that every Christian and every local assembly in particular, we ought to reflect something of the glory of Christ to the world around us. And then within those boards and within that tabernacle, you will know that there the very presence of the Lord is known. And so this building, this holy temple, or in local character, if we just apply, remember it's the place of God's presence. It's a place, it's God's spiritual house. It's a place where the presence of the Lord is to be known. And it's a place where the glory of God ought to be acknowledged and worship should be there for God. Let me just make an appeal to you. Christians, get into our Bibles. Learn the lovely truths of God's purposes and learn the wonderful truth of God's place. And I'm thinking of the assembly. May God help us to cherish that it is the house of God and that it means everything to God. It's a place of spiritual sacrifice. It's a place where God is to be honored. It's a place where Christ is to be upheld.
Now it's fitly framed together, and it's all the work of God on the right foundation. We read of a building. In contrast, or body rather, in contrast to the building which speaks, as you likely well know, of carefulness in construction, the body speaks of usefulness. And when you think of the building, your mind is automatically directed to the foundation of the building. But when you think of the body, your mind would go to Scripture, not to the foundation, but rather to the head, which is Christ. When you look at the building, there's a uniformity that marks the boards that we spoke of. But when you think of the body, there's a diversity that marks the members, and that's taught to the Bible. But in spite of the diversity, as you think of the building and the body as we've read of it here, fitly joined together, there's a lovely purpose to it. And you know, just as in any natural body, your body or mind, keep those things in mind as you please. One mind guides a body. One life, the blood runs through a body. One purpose directs the body. The head of the body is Christ. So as you think of the body, and again I want to apply it in a local sense, there ought to be the acknowledgement of the headship and the lordship of Christ. It ought to be the life of Christ that runs through the members. It ought to be the purposes of Christ that motivate the members of that body. You know that in a natural body, the point would be, as you look at all of the members, and 1 Corinthians 12 brings it out so beautifully, that every member, in spite of its diversity, has a purpose. Now, there ought to be no dead members in a living body. I sometimes meet individuals, of course, with the frailty of the flesh. But you know, that's not the normal. Then remember that God's local assembly is a place of living members. It's not to be a place of deadness. Through the unfaith, sometimes getting. Brethren and sisters, we need carefulness in relation to that. But that life that runs through that body has a purpose in mind. It all is to move and move in harmony. For the purposes of the head, fitly joined together, just in a practical sense then, I would just like you to make an appeal. We as believers appreciate that God has brought us together in spite of our differences, in spite of where we come from, in spite of all of our backgrounds. Each brother, each sister in the assembly is put there by God, put there for a purpose. You know practically from your Bible, especially Corinthians 12, that it's not one to look down on the other or the one to look up to the other. But realize that each of us, there's something we can do. And I will pass over with a little word of encouragement. Whatever it might be, God has put into your hand to do in relation to the local assembly, you do it. Whether it's gospel activity, whether it's Sunday school activity, whether it's a little help in visitation, whether it's a little help in the Bible reading, whatever it might be, you do what you can do for the Lord. Don't leave it to others, because it's a matter of the body working together. Now one day in a very real way, the whole company of God's people will be together. And I think of that when we think of the third picture that we've read of a bride that's fitly adorned for her husband. And so I want to notice two or three things in connection with it quickly, please. Christ's love the church takes us back to the eternal purposes of Christ in relation to the church. It says he gave himself for it in verse 25 of chapter 5, and that'll take us back to Calvary. Then we read of him sanctifying and nourishing it, and takes us to the present work of Christ as we go through. That he might present it to himself takes us on into the future as we think of the wonderful day that's come. You might keep in mind that not only is there the presentation to himself, as that day is coming when the bride, that wonderful company seen in prophetic scriptures linked with Christ, that bride linked with him in a coming day, not only presented to himself, but no doubt presented to the wondering gaze of angelic beings, presented before the nations and the kings in the day of the great kingdom, the wondering eyes of a wondering world, you think of it, will see in that day the company that's linked with Christ, because don't ever forget, the church is a unique company that will be linked with Christ in a wonderful way in the day that's to come, presented to himself. What we read here of the bride, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. And I said to you, a bride fitly adorned for her husband. I remember a number of years ago, in a little village in Newfoundland, we were having some gospel meetings, and I don't know just how this happened. But we'd gone around, and I was visiting in a house, and sitting down with a Bible, somehow or other, this particular phrase came up. I was speaking to a woman that professed to be saved, linked with one of the denominations, and this little verse was mentioned. I don't know who mentioned it first. But she said this in connection with it. "My," she said, "somebody's going to have to do a lot of ironing. No spot or wrinkle." She was a practical woman. Well, I knew what she meant. Never you mind, Christians. Never you mind. The spots and wrinkles of earth will not be seen in the day that's to come. The Lord has taken care of it. Mind you, as we think of the truth of it, that's not a reason why, in a very practical sense, you and I ought not to be more conscious of the purposes of God. That's not to say in a practical sense that there ought not to be in your life and mine a more carefulness of any kind of defilement or anything that would mar us as we think of ourselves linked with it. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. You think of a day that's coming. Every single one of us will leave the defilement of earth behind. We'll leave the problems of an old nature, and all the things that mark us now, leave it behind. And in a glorified body, as the Bible so lovely shows us, clothed in white raiment, pure and white, linked with him, in the day that's come. It's a tremendous thing. We're linked with him. A building, don't forget, and fitly framed, because it's the framing of God. A body fitly joined together. It's God's work, not yours nor mine. And fitly adorned, and that's by the precious blood of Christ. That's the only way in which we can be aptly presented to God. May God bless us.